You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on December 1st, 2022. And today we're going to be doing our monthly news roundup. We typically do these on the last episode of the month, but since last week was Thanksgiving, I wanted to do a Thanksgiving-related episode then, so we're going to do that, our monthly news roundup, this week. Of course, we're recording this still at the end of November, so we're going to go with it and do that this week. This week, what we're talking about is the number of same-sex couples in the U.S. The calls for a Supreme Court justice to recuse herself from an LGBT-related case, and people finding purpose in their pets. For links to the stories we're talking about, as well as related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/1201-22. So now for our stories this week. Our first story. The Census Bureau says D.C. exceeds all states in percentage of same-sex couple households, but only 0.9% of U.S. households headed by same-sex couples. From CNS News, only 0.9% of American households in 2021 were headed by a same-sex couple in which two people of the same sex were either married to each other or in an intimate relationship with each other, according to newly released data from the Census Bureau's American Community Survey. There were 127,544,730 total households in the United States in 2021, according to the Census Bureau. Of these, 1,209,462, or 0.9%, were what the Census Bureau calls same-sex couple households. None of the 50 states had a number of same-sex couple households that accounted for more than 1.4% of their total. At 2.5%, however, the District of Columbia exceeded all of the states for its percentage of same-sex couple households. Now, we've talked about homosexuality and same-sex marriage a lot on the podcast, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that specifically here. However, I did want to bring it up here, at least in part, because these episodes are now also being uploaded to YouTube. So there may also be a new audience who haven't seen our discussions before on this topic. So what I'm going to do is include some links in the show notes for those who haven't considered the points that we've made before on homosexuality and same-sex marriage. I invite you to check those out. The other reason, though, that I'm bringing this up is because of where the higher percentage of same-sex households were. It was in Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States. Well, why is that significant? 10 years ago, which it feels weird that it's been that long now, but 10 years ago, I was reading through the Bible and blogging through the Bible at the same time, following a chronological reading plan. And while I was doing that, I noticed something interesting in the book of Esther. Before Esther was chosen to be queen, the previous queen, Queen Vashti, was removed from her position because she refused to parade herself before the king and his guests. And the king's advisors told him that he needed to make an example of her because, as they said in Esther 1:17 and 18, "For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, causing them to look with contempt on their husbands by saying, 'King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought into his presence, but she did not come. This day the ladies of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's conduct will speak in the same way to all the king's princes, and there will be plenty of contempt and anger.'" I'll link to that article, if you want to read that article and what was in there. But the king's advisors knew that her conduct would influence the rest of the nation. And in the same way, the conduct of those in power influence the rest of the nation here for us today. why does it seem like the number of same-sex households should be much higher of a percentage than the small percentage that is cited in that article? Well, it's because that number is made to appear that much higher because of who is practicing it and where they are located, what position they are in. This is a reminder for us not to be influenced by those who are in authority when their influence is leading us away from God and His Word. The world is very susceptible to this, but as Christians, we need to guard against it. The second story. Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett hit with calls to recuse herself from LGBT case over Christian faith. From FaithWire, Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, a devout Catholic, is facing calls to recuse herself from an upcoming case on free speech and LGBT issue. Former members of the small Christian group Barrett is reportedly affiliated with, People of Praise, are demanding the justice step back from 303 Creative LLC versus Elenis, a case centering on graphic designer Lori Smith, who wants to expand her business to include wedding websites, but, because of her faith, opposes same-sex weddings and wants to create a space on her own site explaining her opposition to same-sex marriage. The High Court justices will determine whether the Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act, which blocks businesses open to the public from discriminating in any number of ways, including potential customer sexual orientation, violates the Free Speech Clause of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Further on in that article, it says former members of the People of Praise group spoke recently with The Guardian, telling the outlet Barrett cannot be an objective party in this case and needs to remove herself from the deliberations. So here you have certain individuals who are calling for a Supreme Court justice to recuse herself from hearing this case because, as they allege, she cannot be an objective party. Well, why would they say that? It's because of her religious views. As the article went on to explain, this is the same sort of charge that was made during her confirmation hearings, that her religious views made her unqualified to pass judgment on cases before the court. However, keep in mind what the purpose is of the Supreme Court. The justices are not deciding what is moral. They are ruling on whether or not something is constitutional. The U.S. Constitution, no matter how much we might hold it in high esteem, is not inspired. It is not from God, like the Bible is. There may be things that are sinful, but are protected under the Constitution, and actually there's quite a lot of things that are like that. But the issue here is not on how she interprets or applies the Constitution. It's about her religious views. This is another example of intolerance for what the Bible teaches on certain issues, in this case, homosexuality. And it's an effort to silence those who believe what the Bible teaches on that subject. So as our society is going to move further and further away from biblical principles on morality, this type of thing is going to happen, and it should not surprise us. Those who hold to what the Bible teaches on some issue, whether it's homosexuality or something else, they will be targeted by those who want to celebrate what the Bible calls sin. Several years ago, actually back in 2008, I wrote an article about the growing acceptance of homosexuality, and the link will be in the show notes. And in that article, I talked about three things that we could expect as our society becomes more and more accepting of homosexuality. Number one, they'll become more demanding. Talking about those who practice homosexuality, they become more demanding. Number two, they will become more intolerant. And number three, they will become violent. The reason why I made those points, talked about that progression, was because of what we read in Genesis chapter 19 and Judges chapter 19, where you have majorities who were practicing homosexuality. That's what we see in each of those passages. And you can read that article to see more of what the Bible says about that and why we can conclude that that is the progression that happens. But in the 14 years since I wrote that article, We have certainly seen those first 2 points, that they become more demanding and they become more intolerant. We need to prepare for that third one with the violence. If we have to face persecution for this issue, because we are standing for Christ and His Word, then we need to be prepared for that. As Peter said, let us not be ashamed, but instead glorify God in this name, in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. If that's where this is ultimately headed, which if you have someone trying to silence a Supreme Court justice because of her views on this topic, her religious views on this issue, we could very well be headed to that for all of us if we want to stand for the truth. That's something we need to be aware of and preparing for. The third story I want us to talk about here today. Nearly 4 in 5 people agree the world would be a better place if we saw it through our pets' eyes. From study finds, after talking about how pets help their owners meet people and be more sociable, which is probably all well and good, the article says this. 77% say their pet has never judged them regardless of what their pet has seen them do. Moreover, 80% say their pet not being judgmental has encouraged them to be less judgmental of others. Black respondents were among the most likely to agree with that statement at 90%, with white respondents not far behind at 87%. Perhaps then it makes sense that 80% of people believe their four-legged companion has made them a better person. Researchers also split respondents up by sexuality, revealing that LGBTQ respondents were the most likely to agree at 90%. Specifically, respondents believe their pet has helped them become more social, 66%, more active, 59%, more open, 58%. When asked to give specific examples of how their pet has made them a better person, one respondent says, "Sometimes I feel like not getting up anymore, but having to take care of these animals has helped me continue to get up and keep moving." Did you catch that last part? At the end of talking about how their pet helps them to be less judgmental and all these other things, this article highlighted one respondent to the survey who said that he or she, whoever it is, sometimes doesn't feel like getting up anymore, but their pet motivates them to carry on with life. Now, let me be clear that if someone is dealing with depression and doesn't know how they're going to carry on in life, then I'm glad that there's something, anything that motivates them to not give up on life. My concern, though, is with those people who aren't struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts or anything like that, but are perfectly content with their pet being the most significant thing in their life. There are two problems with this. Number one has to do with our relationships with other people, those who have been made in the image of God, as the Bible talks about. They should take precedence over any animal. And two, God has given us a purpose, not to take care of a pet. Nothing wrong with having a pet, but that's not the purpose that God has given us. The purpose that He's given us is to fear Him and keep His commandments, as Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 says. In a way, we could say that elevating pets to this type of status that replaces the people God wants us to have relationship with and ignoring God's purpose for us in favor for the purpose that we have given ourselves to take care of this pet, in a way, that is a form of idolatry. It is something that is in someone's life that replaces or rivals God in their heart. Christians need to avoid this. This doesn't mean we can't have pets or enjoy the pets that we have, but we need to find purpose, not in an animal, but in the Lord. And we need to value human relationships, whether family, friends, those who we attend church services with, over any type of so-called relationship that we might have with a pet. Now, I've talked about this a couple other times, or at least issues related to this, with people's view of pets on some other episodes of the podcast. Those will be listed in the show notes if you want to listen to those and some different things that we talked about in those episodes. But that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the stories we talked about, as well as other related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/120122. And if you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with someone else that you think would be interested, that would always be appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we are also uploading these on YouTube in video format. So if you want to watch them that way, you can visit the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel and you can view the video versions of these podcasts there. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the channel so you can see other videos that are posted here as well. And if you see a news story that you think would make for a good discussion, please email that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.